Question for today. Question for today. Where do you need peace? So think about that for a moment. Share that with a neighbor. Where do you need peace? All right. Well, I find that to be an interesting question. Where do you need peace? The psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 120, the psalmist is praying, Lord, save me from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. That whenever the psalmist speaks for peace, everyone takes his words and twists them and turns them to war. And so I just think, okay, that's a place where we could use some peace, where there are lying lips, where there are twisted words. God, we need peace there. Another place I kind of heard Lisa shared, you know, peace in her mind. And again, I think we can be so troubled in our minds, so troubled in our thoughts, that we need peace there. And I heard somebody say peace in their workplace. And yeah, I get that. I mean, not my workplace here at church, but my workplace out there at Point Loma. You know, we need peace in our workplaces. I got to be careful what I say and who's listening. And then last night, man, I couldn't get any peace because there was a party going on back down behind our house, and they had a live mariachi band, and they were going, I mean, they sounded good, but I wanted some peace. And they went till at least 1 a.m, if not later. And so we have all these different kind of places where we would like to, you know, to have some peace. And go ahead and turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. We are finishing up our time in Thessalonica today, so to speak. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. So 2 Thessalonians, I know, is only a couple pages, and so it's so easy to turn past. And so I'll give you a moment to find it, to get there. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I could tell you that it's right before 1 Timothy. That might help, but Timothy's not super long either, although it is longer than 1 and 2 Thessalonians combined, I think. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, kind of wave at me. Let me know when you're there. Amen. Got an amen? Amen. All right. So we're going to go for it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Again, Paul is wrapping up his second letter to this church in Thessalonica. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Verse 17. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Again, listen to verse 16 again. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. And then down to verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your word this morning. We thank you for your ministry to us already. But as we turn our attention to your word, we pray that you would speak afresh to us, that you would give us ears to hear you, that our hearts would be open and wide to receive you, and that our minds, we'd be humble and obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we are completing our journey through 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We kind of began this journey back in the spring, working our way through 1 Thessalonians, and then summer came, and Pastor D brought us a series, and then we came back to 2 Thessalonians, and we are finishing that up today. And we have covered a lot while visiting, if I can say it this way, visiting this church at Thessalonica. Well, maybe we didn't visit the church, we visited the letters. Okay, and so we've covered a lot as we visited these two letters of Paul to the church at Thessalonica. And I want to just kind of recall, you know, some of the stuff that we've learned, some of the stuff that we covered. So, for example, we talked about, I'm sure you remember how Paul started this church, that it was on his second missionary journey. He had Silas with him. He had Timothy with him. You can read about this back in Acts chapter 17. He had been to Philippi and started that church, and then, you know, he had some rough experiences there. It was time to move on, and so he moved on from there, and the place he came next was Thessalonica. And he went to the Jewish synagogue, and they gave him the opportunity to preach the gospel, and he got to preach and teach for three Sabbaths, and then they were done with him. But in his preaching time, there were some Jews who believed, there were some God-fearing Gentiles who believed, and I think I remember it saying that there were not a few prominent women who also believed, women who had status within that community. But the synagogue leaders, they were done with him. They wouldn't let him preach or teach anymore. And Paul wasn't fazed by it. And he had set up shop in that city. He was a tent maker. He worked with leather. And so he had his place in the business district where he was doing work. People would bring their needs to him, whether it's fixing, you know, a leather purse or actually making a tent for them or whatever. But he did his work, and while he did his work, he turned his work into a place where he could share Christ. And so he preached and taught Christ from his workplace. And Gentiles, not just God-fearing Gentiles, but your run-of-the-mill worldly Gentiles, they were hearing Paul teach about Jesus, and they placed their faith in Jesus. And so this church was formed. And as it turned out, the leadership at the synagogue was jealous of the success of Paul in starting this church. And so they rallied different groups in the city against Paul and against the church. And even a riot broke out to where one of the church members was arrested and had to post bond in order to get out. They charged Paul with preaching that Jesus is king, not the Roman emperor. And Thessalonica was the capital city of Macedonia. And so we can imagine how kind of patriotic that city would have been towards the Roman Empire. And so Paul has to move on. And you'll remember the way he moved on was they sent him out of town in the middle of the night. And he goes to the next town, and he goes to the next town. And what we learn is that Paul really wasn't ready to leave yet. He talked about how he was torn from them. And Paul wanted to be able to go back and finish his teaching and finish establishing the church in Christ, and he couldn't do it. And he was really troubled and really disturbed and wondering how they were doing. And so what he decided to do when he couldn't stand it any longer, he sent Timothy back to find out how they were doing and to teach them as well. And Paul, he had to keep traveling. And so he went from Berea to Athens and all the way down to Corinth in the southern part of Greece. And so Timothy makes it back to Paul and reports to Paul how the church is doing. And it's surviving. They're persevering. It's good. And Paul responds with the letter of 1 Thessalonians. And we worked through that letter, and we saw that as excited as Paul is for how the church is doing, yet at the same time, there are some areas where they need to grow and they need to develop. And then Paul follows that letter up with 2 Thessalonians, more areas where they need to grow, where they need to develop. And so Paul is writing these letters to strengthen and encourage the church, the people of the church, to keep growing in Christ, even though they're facing opposition, facing challenges, facing pressures to reconform to the world. He writes these letters to strengthen them and to encourage them. And we've seen some of the issues that he has covered. I think probably the biggest issue he hits on is that they need to increase in their love for each other. That, yeah, they love each other, but they really need to start caring about each other more and giving themselves to each other. He writes that they need to practice sexual purity, that they're coming from a Greco-Roman world where it's pretty much anything goes. And Paul is saying, okay, that may be how you used to live. That may be the world that you were a part of, but you're in Christ now. That you are to be sanctified, that you are to be holy, that your bodies are to be set apart to God, and that you are to honor God and worship God with your very body. And so he's calling them to increase in their love for each other and to truly love each other by not taking advantage of each other sexually, but to honor God with their bodies and to honor each other with how they treat each other when it comes to their sexual relationships. He speaks to them, instructs them about the return of Christ. It looks like they have a number of questions about Christ's return, that some are fearful that those who have already died, that they're going to miss out on the return of Christ. And others are acting like, it's not going to be for a while. I can do whatever I want to do right now. I'll be ready when it's time to be ready. And he's saying, no, you got to be prepared. And then in 2 Thessalonians, it sounds like some people have started spreading rumor that Christ already came. You've been left behind. He didn't fix anything. And Paul's saying, no, that's still in the future. So he writes them, instructing them, clearing up questions about the return of Christ. And then he also instructs them about the need and the importance to work. That you just can't quit working and figure the church is going to take care of you. That if you're able to work, it's not a question of if you're unable to work. It's not a question as if somehow you aren't able to work or there's no work for you. Their situation was there was work and there were people who could work who were choosing not to work. And they were choosing not to work thinking that the church ought to take care of us. Others have been blessed in the church. I haven't been so blessed, but I'm in the church. They're in the church. They should take care of me. I shouldn't have to work. And Paul says, no, that's not the case. Everybody needs to contribute. And if you're able to work, you need to work rather than be a burden to the church. He writes them about their attitudes and that they need to have a transformation of attitude, a continued transformation of attitude, to where they rejoice always, not just some of the time, but they rejoice always because of what God has done in Christ Jesus. And that's the ultimate reality that gives us power to rejoice no matter our circumstances. And he calls them, he charges them to pray constantly without ceasing, always in communion with God. He's with us. Why not talk to him? Share the day with the Lord. And then the third real attitude adjustment he calls them to make or to grow in is that they need to give thanks continuously. Thank God always. No matter what your circumstances, we have something to be thankful for. Amen. The love of God in Christ Jesus. And so he calls on them and instructs them about how to live. And he hits a number of issues. You know, I think when I think back, probably the things that stick out most to me about Paul's letters to this church, to these people. Number one, he says that when he was with them, he was like a nursing mom. Again, I can't get away from that because I can never see me comparing myself to a nursing mom. I'm just not equipped to do that. And I think about what's he saying with this metaphor. And I think what he's getting at is he gave himself to these people. He gave his life to these people. And he didn't, and he says, when I was with you, I wasn't just preaching to you. I wasn't just delivering a message to you. When I was with you, I gave myself to you. And when he thinks about somebody giving themselves to someone else that they might live and have life, a nursing mom, nursing her children, giving herself to her child that that child might live and flourish and grow. And so that sticks out in my mind. What kind of people ought we to be? We ought to be nursing mother type people where we actually give ourselves to each other instead of just giving messages to each other, instead of just giving words to each other. I know words are important, and words are one of the ways that we give ourselves, but you know the difference when somebody's giving you just a word and giving you themselves. And Paul is saying this is how we need to love each other, actually give ourselves to each other. Second image, and Beto, I heard you say it, father. He compares himself to a father, that he played a fatherly role in the lives of these people. And when he says fatherly role, what he's getting at is that he recognizes that it's his responsibility to socialize them into how to live in God's kingdom, to teach them what this new life looks like and how you live this life. See, they lived Greco-Roman life really well. They knew the values, they knew the ways, they knew the decisions, they knew how to play the game. But they're no longer, that's no longer their world. That's no longer their kingdom. That's no longer, you know, what they're living into. And so he is socializing them out of that Greco-Roman way of life and socializing them into the Jesus way of life, into the kingdom of God way of life. And again, in my mind, I think back to teaching our kids to drive. I mean, that was kind of an experience. Teaching them, socializing them into the ways of the road. Maybe a better example, hadn't thought about this till just now. But you know that when Vonda and I came here, I had to socialize Vonda into how to drive on a freeway in California. She knew how to drive country roads in Michigan. She knew how to drive roads that didn't have a lot of traffic. We had some freeways in Kansas City, but she had no idea how to drive on the 5. She had no idea how to take the 94 to the 5. And so it was just kind of like I had to teach her how to drive all over again, even though she thought she already knew how to drive. That's what Paul is doing with these people. They thought they knew how to live, but they knew how to live the Greco-Roman way of living. And Paul had to teach them a whole new way to drive, a whole new way to live in the kingdom of God. And that's what he's up to in these letters. He is reteaching them how to live in God's kingdom, how to live the Jesus way instead of that old Greco-Roman worldly way. And so those are the things that he's been dealing with in his letter. Those are kind of the big things he's been working on. Now, one of the things that I find really interesting about the letters, and I'm thinking kind of whole now, the opening and the closing. In the opening of each letter, you know, after he says Paul, Silas, Timothy, to the church at Thessalonica, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we get the letter and all the different things he says, all the instructions, and then we get to the closing. And the closing is peace and grace. Let me try to kind of put it up big. Grace and peace to you. Then we get the instructions. And then peace and grace. So it goes grace, peace, instructions, peace, grace. Okay, go ahead and tell that to your neighbor. Grace, peace, instructions, peace, grace. Okay, did you get it or are you confused? Okay, I won't call on anybody. If I was in class, I'd call on somebody to come up and put it on the board. But just so you can kind of see it. So grace, peace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace, peace. Then you get the letter, all the instructions. And then peace and grace. The order flips. So grace, peace, grace. Say that faster. Grace, peace, peace, grace. Now add the instructions in. Grace, peace, instructions, peace, grace. Okay, tell your neighbor what you're thinking about. Okay, I know you're not thinking about that much yet. So, grace, peace, peace, grace. Grace, peace, instructions, peace, grace. Now, why do I think that's significant? Well, this is a homework assignment. I know some of you like Bible homework. It's not for all of you, but those of you who like Bible homework, so this is what I'd like you to do at some point this week, maybe this afternoon. Paul wrote 13 letters. I want you to skim through the 13 letters and look at the beginning, how each one is open. How many of them do you find grace and peace to you? Next part of the homework. You don't have to read the letters. Just look at the end of the letters. How many of the letters have a closing where that's flipped? Where it becomes peace and grace. Paul's typical way of ending a letter is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Letter's done. A lot of times, not every time, but a number of times, and it's your job to find out where, but a number of times he'll come back to peace before he gets to grace. And so I've just been thinking about that. Grace, peace, instructions, peace, grace. And just to demonstrate, look with me, let's go to Philippians. We'll go to a different letter. So if you look at Philippians 1, so it's just a few pages before Thessalonians. If you look at Philippians chapter 1, where Paul gives the greeting, it's in verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I know, you're not surprised. But then look at chapter 4 of Philippians. And let's jump in at verse 8. So chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And guess what? And the God of peace will be with you. And then if you go down to the very last line, verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians. So you got to turn a few pages over. We're going to skip past Colossians. And so 1 Thessalonians, we looked at this 3 months ago. Verse 1, you know, Paul, Silas, Timothy to the church, grace and peace to you. Then we get all the instructions. And go with me down to chapter 5, verse 23, the closing. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Pray for us. Greet everyone. Verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now look at 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, Silas, Timothy, to the church. Verse 2, what? Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And now go down with me to our passage today, 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Paul says, I'm writing this in my own hand. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Do you believe me yet? Yeah. So grace, peace, instructions, peace, grace. So, okay. What does that mean?
Yeah,
he puts it simple. And you know what I'm getting from this? That the power for peace is God's grace.
Yes. Yes.
Grace, peace, peace, grace. Grace enfolds, envelopes God's peace. That we're not going to get to God's peace, we're not going to get to real peace without going through grace. That peace is the product of God's grace. And that without that grace, there is no peace. Are you kind of seeing it? And so grace empowers, grace creates, grace gives birth, if you want to say it that way, to peace. It envelops it, it surrounds it, it's the soil that peace grows in, if you want to look at it that way. But grace is essential to peace. There is no peace without grace. Now, let's work on this a little bit more. Especially our passage, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you. For us to live in that peace, we have to live by the grace, because grace is the power for the peace. So we live by grace, and Paul's saying, may God give you, the Lord of peace, the one who has peace and makes peace. May the Lord give you peace in every way, at every place, all times. And then he's going to come back to grace. He's with you. And so may God so grace you that you can have peace all the time, every place, every situation, because the Lord is with you and has graced you to have peace. Okay, what am I trying to get at? Go back to the instructions. The peace is a gift. But what's going to happen if we don't follow the instructions? No peace. Are you kind of seeing how it fits together? Grace, peace, instructions, peace, grace. This peace is a gift of grace. But if we're going to live in that peace and not squander that gift, then we need to follow the instructions. The instructions are critical to abiding in peace, to living in peace, to maintaining peace. And we don't live those instructions by our own power. We live those instructions by grace. Grace surrounds it. Grace creates it. And grace empowers peaceful living. But the peaceful living, it's critical that we follow the instructions. It's almost like I could argue that the instructions are at the center of the peace that's enfolded by grace. Grace, peace, instructions, peace, grace. Now, the word I'm using for instruction, I mean, that's the whole letter. And in parts of the letter, Paul teaches about what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, and he shares the gospel. And other letters, he'll have specific instructions in terms of how to live. And some letters are a mixture of both. But the key to peace is what Paul has written in between the words of peace, the prayer for peace, and that's surrounded by grace. Okay, so let's try it out. Let's see what we get here. Well, I want us to back us up, not to Gospel of John, just real quick. So Gospel of John chapter 14, and we actually open the service with these words. So it's Jesus speaking, John chapter 14, verse 23. I know I got you running all over the place, but John 14, verse 23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, my commandments. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And I think about that. What is one of the keys to this peace that Jesus is giving? Well, yes, certainly the Holy Spirit, but what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit reminds us, directs us to everything that Jesus taught in terms of how we are to live life. The Holy Spirit is at work in Paul's life, helping Paul as he writes these letters to remind the people, to share with the people what obedience to Jesus looks like. Okay, are you tracking with me? The key to peace and living in peace and abiding in peace is doing the instructions. Okay, so I want us to just do a really quick walk through 2 Thessalonians. So again, all times, every way, peace present with you. So chapter 1. Here's the issue in chapter 1. That they're in a difficult place of opposition. So look with me at verses 3 and 4. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. And then we get a word about that persecution and about how God will make things right. And then look at verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I call that? Peace in the midst of persecution. Peace in the midst of opposition. Again, what was that prayer? That the Lord of peace himself would give you peace at all times and in every way. And if I look back at chapter 1, all times includes times of persecution. Times of opposition. Times of people being against you, because you are a follower of Jesus. Times of people challenging you because you follow Jesus. And what Paul is saying is his prayer and his confidence is that God will give them peace in the midst of that and empower them to live in that peace, even though there's opposition, by assuring them that the day will come when God makes things right. And they will have to face the righteousness and the judgment of God. And so don't be deterred by the pressure that they put on you. Instead, keep walking worthy of his calling. When I think about peace, I'm usually not thinking about opposition. But Paul, I know you're going through it. And you know what? You don't have to go through it with anxiety or fear. You can go through it with God's peace. He is with you. And he gives you the power to keep walking by his grace. Okay, another example. Still in 2 Thessalonians. Okay, now the issue is there's unrest about the return of Christ. And some people are saying that Christ has already returned. And we saw earlier that some people are saying that those who died before Christ gets here, too bad for them. And others are saying that, he's not coming, might as well party now, get ready later. Okay, and so unrest about all of that. And Paul writes to assure them of the truth. And what does he want them to have in the midst of that? Peace. That they don't have to be worried, fearful, full of anxiety about Christ's return, because they stand in peace with Christ by grace. They've confessed their sins. They've repented. They're living by God's grace, obeying the instructions. they're at peace with God, so they don't have to fear the return of Christ. I mean, has the return of Christ ever scared you? I mean, honestly, being a Christian and scared to read Revelation. Being a Christian and scared to hear what people might be saying about the end of the world. Don't have to live in that fear. Don't have to be full of anxiety about that. Because the Lord of peace is with me all places, all times, to give me peace. And so I can live with the assurance that I'm right with the Lord, and that as I listen to Him and walk in the Spirit, that I'll be ready, that I'm not going to miss it, and it's going to be okay. And so I don't have to be afraid to read Revelation. I don't have to be afraid of what people are saying. Peace. Another example, still in 2 Thessalonians. Talks to them about standing firm and talks to them about where their hearts are at. And I don't know about you, but like my heart during the course of a week, it can kind of run all over the place to where there's this problem, to where there's this thing that's going on, to where I'm going to have to deal with this. And I don't know whether it's going to be this week or next week or the week after, but I know it's coming. And it's real easy to have your heart all over the place about all the things that are causing trouble in your life. Or maybe you know it's going to be work to get through that. But look. Look at verse 5 of chapter 3. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. You know what happens when my heart is directed into God's love and Christ's perseverance? I have peace. Because I know that no matter what I might have to deal with, God's not going to quit loving me. And I know that no matter what I have to deal with, it doesn't compare to Jesus going to the cross and persevering through that suffering for the love of God, for the love of us. And so when I think about that, that's peace no matter what. That's peace all the time, every place. And that's available to all of us. And then we looked at this passage last week in terms of the warning against not working. And again, peace there. That if I'm out of work, I can still have peace. And if for some reason I'm unable to work, I can still have peace. And if we need to work things out in terms of people who need to come to work and get working, we can still have peace rather than let that destroy us so that we grow weary of doing good. We can have peace. And so that's where the question came from this morning. You know, where do you need peace? And Paul says and prays, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Where do you need peace? What's keeping you up at night? Where do you need peace? May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I guess I kind of got a follow-up question. When I think about that structure again, you know, grace, peace, instruction, peace, grace. Maybe the place I need peace is the place where I'm struggling with the instruction. You kind of following?
Yeah.
That it may not be a question of, I don't know how I'm supposed to be living. The question may be, I'm not living that way, and I don't have peace. And it's the instruction, it's the place where we need peace. Not peace that comes like God's going to somehow change the instruction. But peace that God would change us to live the instruction. that God would do such a work in us that we're able to surrender our rebellious spirit, that we're able to surrender our fallenness, our brokenness, that we're able to surrender sinful attitudes, so that instead of us trying to push on God to get God to endorse our ways, we actually seek His mercy and grace to live by His instructions. And when we're that humble, we get His peace. And again, we don't get there on our own. We can't execute these instructions by our own power. What's the whole thing enfolded in? Grace. Grace, peace, instructions. And if we're not following the instructions, we're out of peace. And when we're out of peace, truth be told, we're not living by grace. But when we live by grace, we have peace. And that peace, yes, it's a product of what God has done for us, but it's also a product. We're living right. We're following the instructions. And when you know you're doing right, there can be a world of chaos around you and against you. And you may not know how you're going to make it through that, but you have peace because you know you're right with God. And you know you're doing right as God called you to do. The instructions. You're obeying Jesus. And so, again, I come back to the question, where do you need peace? Ask for the Lord of peace to grant you that peace. Ask for God to grace you to live the instructions, that you might enjoy that peace. I think of peace from a few angles. You know, it's wholeness, it's everything well. And I just want to emphasize that the only reason we can have peace is because of the grace of God. That we were at enmity with God, hostility with God, but God loved us so much that He gave His Son to die for us that we could be reconciled to God, and so that by God's grace, we could be at peace with God because we stand in that grace. And so again, if you need peace with God, good news, God has provided that peace for you through His grace in Christ Jesus. And you can stand in that grace and be at peace with God. I think we need peace with one another. And I can't control other people. Paul says that, in as much as it depends upon you, be at peace with everyone. But I can control my attitude. I would like to control yours. And usually I'd rather control yours than mine. But in as much as it depends upon me, I need to be at peace with you. And so God, give me the grace to follow your instructions so that my attitude towards you is right, no matter what your attitude is towards me. And I'll be able to be at peace. It won't be the fullness of peace that I would like with a reconciled relationship, but I'll have peace about what I've done in the relationship to make peace. I think about peace with self. You know, sometimes we believe lies about ourselves. Sometimes we are the reason why we don't have peace with ourselves. God has forgiven us, but we haven't forgiven ourselves. God has forgiven us. Maybe someone else hasn't forgiven us, but I get my self-definition not from somebody else. I get my self-definition from looking into the eyes of Christ. Right. And He's forgiven me and loves me and died for me. And that doesn't give me just a freedom to do whatever I want to do. That calls me to live into the instructions. That graces me to live into the instructions. But again, I can have peace with myself because I have peace with God. And He's forgiven me. Yes. And so I just think about all the different places where we need peace. And maybe I need to go back to the psalm for a moment. Peace when people are lying about you. Wow. I mean, when you've been lied on, I'm not even going to say if, when you've been lied on, what has that done to your peace? Man, it makes me want to set everything right. And you can't change what somebody else says, and you really can't change what somebody else thinks against their will. But to have peace even when I'm being lied on, because I know that I'm right with God, and I know that God can be trusted to make things right. Yes. I just need to have the patience to trust Him. And I can have peace in the wait. I mean, again, I'm just thinking about life and our need for peace. Peace in the face of lies, peace in the face of opposition, peace in the face of a culture that says we're crazy. Yeah. Peace. Where do you need peace? We face obstacles, and they can be health obstacles. They can be financial obstacles. And those things can relate obstacles from all different places that we weren't looking for. And those things can rob us of our peace. But you know what? They don't need to. Or we don't need to let them do that because of the peace that we have with God and who God is. And that He's with us as we face those obstacles. Yes. So, peace. Listen to the prayer again. Now may the Lord of peace Himself, the only one who can truly give peace, He's Lord of peace. Peace doesn't come from the bank. It comes from the Lord of peace, Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace. That things are well with you and Him. That things are well with you and yourself. That things are well with you and your walk. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times. And in every way, the Lord be with all of you. And you know how one of the ways the Lord gives us peace is by showing us where we don't have it. And as the Lord shows us where we don't have it, He also says, I have grace for you, that you might have peace. Whether it's dealing with that obstacle, whether it's dealing with that habit, whether it's dealing with that person, whether it's dealing with that lie, whether it's dealing with that place of disobedience where you're not following the instructions. One of the ways the Lord gives us peace is to show us where we don't have it. And then He asks, would you like for the grace that will give you peace? And we have to say, yes, I cannot get peace there on my own. Would you give me the grace to have peace there in terms of forgiveness and in terms of changing my ways and in terms of living by your truth instead of the lies around me? Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we've recognized first who you are, that you are the Lord of peace, that peace is yours to give, that you're the one who's accomplished peace, and we're not going to find true peace anywhere else but you. And we thank you for showing us places where we need your peace. It might be a place, it might be an attitude, it might be a behavior, it might be a relationship, it might be in the mirror. But we thank you for seeking peace and showing us where there's not And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to own those places where we're out of peace. And then, Lord, help us to hear that invitation, to receive that invitation, grace, that we might know peace, and that we might have the power to follow your instructions. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the way I'd like to close today is, Wanda, if you and the ladies would come and sing I Speak Jesus. And as they sing, you're welcome to come and kneel and pray. You're welcome to pray where you're at. But I'd like to just have a little bit of extended time just praying for God's peace. Lord, you know the peace we need. And sometimes we're in denial that we need it there. But to just have a moment and allow Jesus to speak to us about his peace and about his grace, that we might live in that peace, and that we would speak Jesus over all those peaceless places in our lives.